God is good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm really very, very excited to be here. And now I feel somewhat a little bit sad because we're going to be parting ways, right? But we are still close in the spirit. Amen. And it really touched me a lot here. I mean, this weekend really touched me a lot because, you know, I again witnessed God's power and His love for us. And He's always with us, and He will never forsake us, and He will never leave us. Amen. How about if you all stand and just tell the people around you that God is loving you and protecting you and using you in a mighty way, okay? Praise the Lord! God is good! You may be seated, you may be seated. Again, I'd like to thank everyone. And Father Patsy, thank you. And where's Father Andy? And all the members of the committee here who run this convention. This is a very well-run convention. Praise God. How about a thank you, Lord? Praise to Him, okay? And, of course, we have our music ministry, very anointed music ministry. Praise God. Again, we thank the Lord for your faithfulness, for your love, and for your friendship. And I thank the Lord for that, okay? We'll just clap. Give Him praise and glory. And my brothers and sisters, my topic this morning is the power of the Eucharist. There is power, amen, in the Eucharist. So we will start with the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states that in number 1323, at the Last Supper, on the night He was betrayed, our Savior instituted the Eucharistic sacrifice of His body and blood. This He did in order to perpetuate the sacrifice of the cross throughout the ages until He should come again. And so to entrust to His beloved spouse, the Church, a memorial of His death and resurrection, a sacrament of love, a sign of unity, a bond of charity, a paschal banquet in which Christ is consumed, the mind is filled with grace, and a pledge of future glory is given to us. And also, Catechism of the Catholic Church says that the Eucharist is the source and summit of our ecclesial life. And it is the source and summit of the Christian life. The other sacraments, and indeed all ecclesiastical ministries and works of the apostolate, are bound up with the Eucharist and are oriented toward it. For in the Blessed Eucharist is contained the whole spiritual good of the Church, namely Christ Himself, our past. And number 1326, finally, by the Eucharistic celebration, we already unite ourselves with the heavenly liturgy and anticipate eternal life, when God will be all in all. And in number 1327, in brief, the Eucharist is the sum and summary of our faith. Our way of thinking is attuned to the Eucharist, and the Eucharist in turn confirms our way of thinking. Yeah, there are so many, you know, profound blessings when we, of course, every time we attend the Mass. And, you know, it is The way, it is the, what is the center and the summit of our Christian life. So the next page, it says, a reminder on what the Holy Mass is to Catholics. Now, what I did, I put down some of the testimonies of saints and popes about the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Below is a testimony as to how valuable the Mass is to us and the greatest form of prayer. You know, some people say, oh, our prayer meeting is very anointed, very powerful. But my brothers and sisters, no matter how anointed or how powerful your prayer meeting may be, but nothing, cannot be compared to the Mass. At the hour of death, the Holy Masses you have heard devoutly will be your greatest consolation. Every Mass will go with you to judgment and will plead for pardon for you. Who say that? You'll find out when we go on here. By every Mass, you can diminish the temporal punishment due to your sins, more or less, according to your favor. By devoutly assisting at Holy Mass, you render the greatest homage possible to the sacred humanity of our Lord. Through the Holy Sacrifice, our Lord Jesus Christ supplies for many of your negligences and omissions. He forgives you all the venial sins which you are determined to avoid. He forgives you all the known sins which you never confessed. The power of Satan over you is diminished. That's how powerful the Mass is. By piously hearing Holy Mass, you afford the souls in purgatory the greatest possible relief. Through Holy Mass, you are preserved from any dangers and misfortunes which would have otherwise which have befallen you. You shorten your purgatory by every Mass. So instead of, let's say, staying in purgatory for, let's say, 500 years. it's eternity. Well, I don't know. 500 years is just like a day, maybe. I don't know. But let's say, as an example, for instance, you're supposed to stay in purgatory for 500 years. By attending Holy Mass, it will shorten your stay there. That's what the saints and I think the teachings of the church say too, right? Right, Father? I'm getting close. Through the Holy Mass, you are blessed in your temporal goods and affairs. When you hear Holy Mass devoutly, offering it to Almighty God in honor of any particular saints or angel, thanking God for the favors bestowed on him, you afford the saint or angel a new degree of honor, joy, and happiness, and draw his special love and protection on yourself. Every time you assist at Holy Mass, besides other intentions, you should offer it in honor of the saint of the day. Saint of the day, like for instance, this, today is, I don't know who's the saint of the day today. We'll find out later on. Well, Sunday, sometimes, do you know, Father? Sunday liturgy, yeah. But it's Saint Clair. Yesterday was Saint Clair. So you attend Mass and Saint of the Day is Saint Clair, and you offer that to her honor. And a saint says that. I don't know. I think I got the wrong file here because I have the names of those saints who said this, said that, So, but this one here doesn't say. But anyway, but it's Can we go back to that one first? We'll stay there. So in other words, if you offer it in honor of the saint of the day, and of course the saint will also intercede for you before the throne of God. No, and you heard of the communion of saints, right? Yeah, and so that's part of that communion of saints. You know, we pray for each other. We are the church here on earth. We are the church militant, right? How about those in heaven? Church triumphant, right? So we believe, we believe that the saints, especially, you know, those saints that we honor and we ask for to intercede for us, and you can be sure, you know, if the word be sure, that they're also interceding for us there before the throne of God. Holy Communion is the shortest and the safest way to heaven. St. Pius X says that. You know, I read a book written by this lawyer in the Philippines. He's from the Philippines, and he wrote a book about the power of the Eucharist. And he said that he had cancer of the throat. And every time he goes to church and receive Holy Communion, he said his prayers are like this: Lord, you are passing through my throat. You are passing through the cancerous throat. Root out all the cancer from his throat, from my throat. That's what he said. And every day, that is his prayer. After receiving Holy Communion, he asked the Lord to root out all the cancerous cells from his throat. And he said, after 3 months, he went to his doctor again and had x-rays and sonogram and scan. And the doctor said, no more trace of cancer. Praise God. Praise God. So I think I mentioned to you 2 days ago that when I received Holy Communion, immediately when I, you know, consumed the body and the blood of Jesus, I asked him to strengthen my body, to take away all my illnesses, to strengthen my organs, all my bones, all my tissues, all the systems of my body, to strengthen my immunity system especially, you know, and I try to be as specific as possible. Lord, take away all the infection from my body, strengthen my heart. You are now inside of me, and Lord, you are my healer. And then I think I mentioned to you that I have also a postscript, right? Did I mention that to you? No? I have a postscript. I said, Lord, make me look younger than my actual age. I did mention that. So that's why I'm 87 years old. Now, how do I look? I mean, do I look 87 years old? No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, Jesus is us, and you shall receive, right? So he is the closest to you when you receive him into yourself during communion. Talk to the Lord. I spend about 3 to 5 minutes after I receive his body and blood just talking to the Lord. And praise God. You know, I'm sure it has helped me tremendously. It has helped me tremendously. And sad to say, many people don't believe the real presence of the Lord in the Eucharist. But my brothers and sisters, we know better. Amen? Amen. We know better. And thank you. Thank you for the water. Really appreciate this. Okay. So St. Pius says that the Mass is the shortest way to heaven. If the angels could be jealous of men, they would be for one reason. Holy Communion. Who said that? Saint Maximilian Kolbe, because of course the angels could not receive the body and blood of Jesus, and we receive him into us. So Maximilian Kolbe, he was, I visited his house, in Poland. How many of you have been to his house? To this place where he used to stay. It's amazing, you know. And also I visited his cell in the prison. Where's that in Poland, where the Jews were in Krakow, and also this the concentration camp. In Poland, I forgot the name now. His cell, we visited his cell there. He was imprisoned by the Jews. By the Nazis. And he took the place of this man who was about to be executed by the Germans. And he took his place. And this man, I think he died not too long ago, right? And I forgot the name. What was? Huh? No. The name of the concentration camp. Huh? Yeah. It is in Krakow, but I forgot the name now. It was there were 5,000. Jews were killed in that, slaughtered. Auschwitz. Thank you. We went to Auschwitz, and you could see in Auschwitz, you could see like hair of people there, and all the, like they have cribs, you know, like things that babies use, like cribs and bottles of milk and all of that, empty bottles of milk and hair. It's very, I would say, very, very, when we went there, we're depressed, very depressing sight. You know, we saw the gas chambers. And then the cell, we went to the cell of St. Maximilian Kolbe. And it's really, you know, it's a very, you know, if I have a choice, I will never go back there again because it's very depressing. And then from there, we went to St. Faustina's Basilica. And what we should have done, we should have gone to the Basilica first and then to Auschwitz, you know. But, pardon? More water. Thank you. Okay, let's continue on. In one day, the Eucharist will make you produce more for the glory of God than a whole lifetime without it. St. Peter Julian. Have you heard of St. Peter Julian? No? You have not heard of him, huh? But he says, in one day, the Eucharist will make you produce more for the glory of God than a whole lifetime without it. And, okay, Jim, next page. How I love the feast. I especially love the processions in honor of the Blessed Sacrament. What a joy it was for me to throw flowers. I'm sorry for the typo here. What a joy it was for me to throw flowers beneath the feet of God. I was never so happy as when I saw my roses touch the sacred monstrance. St. Therese, the little flower. Now, St. Therese was a doctor of the church, right? How old was she when she died? 33? 24? Yeah, she died at very young age. But she's one of the doctors of the church. Okay. By the way, regarding the Eucharist or the Blessed Sacrament, I have a profound experience one day. I had a very, very serious problem. I would say it was I had to admit that I was distraught. And so I said, I will go to the church and pray there. I used to work for the county of San Joaquin as a senior auditor appraiser. And the church in downtown Stockton, St. Mary's Church, is just a block away from our office. And I was so desperate because I was facing this serious problem. So during my break time at 9:30 in the morning, I ran to the church. I knelt down before the Blessed Sacrament. And I was the only one there, 9:30 in the morning. Mass was at 7 o'clock, you know. So anyway, I cried my heart out to the Lord. I said, Lord, please help me with this problem. Please, Lord, do this and do that. Because if you don't do this and if you don't do that, this will be like this and this will be like that. So I was it was a desperate cry to the Lord. I was trying to dictate to the Lord to do things for me. Because I was really desperate, you know. And in the afternoon, during the afternoon break at 3 o'clock, I ran to the church again. And usually, nobody was there. I look around, nobody was there. And I did the same thing. Lord, please do this and do that. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, this will be like this, this will be like that. So for 3 days, I had been doing that, you know, and morning and afternoon. On the fourth day, I did it again. And the moment I knelt down before the Blessed Sacrament, and when I started to say, please, Lord, do this and do that, I heard an audible voice. I look around. I was the only one inside the church. And the voice says, now I believe it was the voice of the Lord. Many people say it's impossible to hear the audible voice of God. But I believe it was His voice. It was kind of, how to describe it? It was gentle, yet very powerful. Yeah, powerful, very bold, or I could not describe it, the voice. The voice said to me, my son, repeat after me. And I said, oh Lord, is that you? My son, repeat after me. He said, say this, Jesus, I trust in you. And I said, Jesus, I trust in you. Again, my son. Jesus, I trust in you. Again, my son. Jesus, I trust in you. I must have repeated it like 7 times. Jesus, I trust in you. And then the following day, what I did, I just knelt down, and that's all I said. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. For the whole, you know, like it was like until Friday, Saturday, I went to my parish at St. Luke's. You know, I go there in the morning before the Blessed Sacrament, and that's all I said. Jesus, I trust in you. You know what, my brothers and sisters? The problem was just solved without me doing anything, without lifting any finger. Because I could not have done anything anyway to solve that problem. It was the Lord who solved that problem for me. It was Him. It was through His power. And I could never forget that experience. My brothers and sisters, Jesus is real. His presence there in the Blessed Sacrament is real. I've experienced it firsthand. It's just so amazing that, you know what, my brothers and sisters, when I'm in difficult times, when I have trials, tribulations, I always go back to that experience. I always try and rehearse that experience. That yes, He hears our prayers. Yes, He is with us. Yes, He loves us. In spite of ourselves, He loves us. And it's so amazing. You know, when I think about that experience, all the difficulties, trials will just be like, for me, it becomes mundane. Because I know that the Lord is there for us. I know that He knows what we are going through or what we have been going through. I mean, how can you explain that? I was desperate because I was so helpless. There's nothing that I could have done to solve that problem. But the Lord just, in His love and His sovereignty, He solved that problem for me. It would have been a very bad the consequences of that would have been very bad for me. I have forgotten what it was all about. Well, I still remember some of the minute details there, but you know, I think, you know, maybe the Lord doesn't want me to remember everything about it, the problem, you know, but he solved my problem. And what I did, just cry out to Him in the Blessed Sacrament. And my wife also, she had an experience. You know, by the way, my wife and I, we received the baptism in the Holy Spirit back in November 11th of 1984 when we attended the Growth in the Spirit seminar. We didn't go through the Life in the Spirit seminar. It was the Growth in the Spirit seminar. Yeah, because you know why? Because as in my book, by the way, my cousin was very persistent. And she told us, oh, you know what? In the church, they are going to have Growth in the Spirit seminar. Go there because, you know, it's really amazing. I said, what? How amazing? Oh, it's hard to explain. You're going to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And she told us that she had that experience in the Philippines. Changed her life. Changed her life, she said. And then we had so many excuses. We told her, well, you know, we don't really need to go to that seminar. And she said, well, there was a basic seminar, but it was already done. So, but you can still go to the Growth in the Spirit seminar. I said, well, you know, I think we have to go to the first step first before going to the second step. Oh, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. You can go to this one anyway. And she was very persistent. But we have all the reasons under the sun not to go, you know. All excuses. All excuses. But finally, we went. And to make the long story short, we attended the Growth in the Spirit seminar. And my wife and I were touched. We received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And our lives have never been the same. Changed our life 180 degrees. You know, it's amazing. And one day, my wife was attending Mass at St. Luke's in our parish. And then after the Mass, she was praying before the Blessed Sacrament. And when she came home that day, she was very excited. And she said, "You know what, honey?" She said, "I was praying before the Blessed Sacrament after Mass today. I had this vision of the Lord." She said, "It was clear as day." I said, "Really?" He said, "What did the Lord say to you? What did you see?" She says, "This vision, it was clear as day." She said, "I saw the Lord holding your briefcase on his right hand. And he talked to me, and he asked permission from me. He said, will you allow your husband to travel with me?" And she said, "The Lord was holding my briefcase in his right hand." And she said, "Lord, it's up to you. You call the shots, you know." I said, "You have my permission, Lord. You don't have to ask my permission. You are, after all, you know everything. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." And she said, the Lord thanked her for giving her the permission to travel with him. And she said, "You know what? The Lord is so humble." Can you imagine? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe asking my permission. Can you understand that? I said, "Yeah." But I said, "You know what? The Lord is very gentle and he will never violate our free will. Had you told him no way, I don't think the Lord will force his way and say, well, he must travel with me, you know. He is very respectful of our free will. He will never violate our free will." Can you imagine? You know, well, my wife was so in awe. She was so in awe, and she said, "The Lord appeared to me in a vision." She said, "I could not believe it. Who am I that the Lord will ask permission from me?" And I said, "Rightly so, because you are the commander in chief, you know." No, I was just kidding her. And I said, looking back, I said, had my wife not said yes, or giving the Lord permission, there's no way I could have traveled, because it would just create animosity between her and me, right? But thank God, she said yes to the Lord. And she said, "Who am I to say no to him? No way. No way." And my wife says in the Blessed Sacrament, the Lord appeared to her in a vision. So from, you know what, my brothers and sisters, at that time, of course, that was back in 1989 or 1990. And I started traveling early in 1991. You know, I was still holding a job. I started to travel in 1991. At first, like twice a year, and then twice a month. Once a month first, and twice a month. And, can you imagine? You know, how the Lord, you know, I said, "Lord, how did you make ways for me to do this work of yours? I did not expect this. In all my 1,000 thoughts, I never did have a single thought that this will happen to me." And can you imagine? He took me to 51 countries so far. You know, traveling. Places, you know, by the way, my wife gave me a prophecy. In November or December 8th of 1984, when we're praying together, it was the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. We're praying together, praying the rosary together in our room. And my wife was praying in tongues at the time. I didn't have any gift, so to speak, that I was using or that the Lord gave me at that time. Well, I probably had the gift, but was not aware of it, you know. But my wife was praying in tongues. She was prophesying. She had word of knowledge. I think most of the gifts at that time. I was just a mere listener. I was just a mere listener at that time. And I could never forget that. And she said, we're praying the rosary, and she was praying in tongues. And then she came up to me and started to prophesy to me. And she said, my son, do not be afraid. My name is Jesus. He said, my son, I'm going to use you to preach the good news, to preach the gospel in my name. You will travel far and wide. You will heal millions in my name. You will go to places that you have never even dreamed of going. He said, you set the limits as to where you can go. Wow, I was afraid. I was scared. He said, you set the limits as to where you can go. You will travel far and wide. Do not be afraid. And I am with you always. And he said, I will use you to heal millions in my name. I was thinking, how can I do that? I said, preaching the gospel. I said, I'm not a priest. I'm not a deacon. I don't know how to preach the gospel. Even to one or two people. How can I do that? And he said, my son, it will happen. I will use you. Be humble always. You know, and then my wife was praying in tongues and she picked up the Bible on the table and she was leafing through the Bible. It was very fast and she had her eyes closed. And she said, my son, read. I look at it. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. So I read it. I said, how was she able to do that? With her eyes closed. And she was leafing the pages of the Bible so fast. And so I read the whole chapter and I put it down. And she picked it up again. My son, I want you to read it. Read it slowly. And she did the same thing. Isaiah chapter 6. And I said, oh my gosh. It's amazing how she was able to do that. And I was reading the chapter, but my thought was, how was he able to do that? I was just amazed. And I put the Bible again, and she did it the third time. Now, what is your chance of getting the same page, the same chapter of the Bible, with your eyes closed, without even looking at the... Well, she was, her eyes closed, leaping through the Bible. What is your chance of doing that for maybe... Let's say second time. Impossible, right? One in a trillion chance maybe, right? What the third time, what really touched me, my eyes were focused on this passage. Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips, living among the people of unclean lips. But the angels touched my mouth with the tongues. And he said, now your sin is purged. Your wickedness is removed. And the Lord says, who shall go for us? And say, here I am, Lord, send me. That really touched my heart. My eyes were focused on those passages in the Bible, in Isaiah 6. It was amazing, you know. And then my wife's experiences about the Lord, her vision of the Lord while he was praying before the Blessed Sacrament, convinced us that I think the Lord is really serious about me traveling with him. That was 1991 when she had this vision. 6 months later, I was invited to speak at an international conference, Catholic Charismatic Conference in Asia, and that was held in Singapore. There were 12,000 people there in Singapore. First time that I had the privilege to conduct a healing service and to speak at a conference, international conference in Singapore. And from then on, you know, many invitations from Asia, from Indonesia, Malaysia, from Thailand, you know, Hong Kong, and all of that. And one thing after another. My brothers and sisters, it's such a tremendous blessing for me and my family. And, you know, the Lord changed our lives. And not only that, not only us, but many members of our families, my cousins, my in-laws, you know, changed our hearts, changed our lives. What a blessing. It was a tremendous blessing. You know, and then we go to the extent that we pray as a family at least 3 times a week. And we start like 8 p.m. Then we go as late as maybe midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning because prophecies just flow. And prophecies after prophecies from my wife, from my sister-in-law, you know, and then one time the Lord prompted us. He said, my children, I want you to write down these words. And I have a notebook that thick. It's all like almost filled with prophecies. And many of those prophecies have gone through. I mean, it had happened already. Amazing things, amazing. I don't know how could I relay that to you, but who am I? Who are we? You know? And I believe that many of you here have profound experiences with the Lord. He's an awesome God. You know, and it's the joy that we experience in spite of trials and tribulations, because we were also persecuted. You know, when you work for the Lord, you could not please everyone, right? There are always naysayers. There are always people who accuse you of being a fanatic or whatever. But you know what? We should remember always that if Jesus is with us, who can be against us? Amen? So we'll continue on with this. Pope Paul VI says the Mass is the most perfect form of prayer. Now, by the way, Pope Paul VI will be ordained as a saint, will be canonized as a saint in October, right? Who are planning to go to Rome to attend his canonization? I'd like to go. And also Bishop, Archbishop Romero. Have you heard of him? Yeah, he would be also canonized this October. Okay. Have you heard of St. Ambrose? Probably, huh? And this is what he said. This is the bread of everlasting life, which supports the substance of your soul. The bread of everlasting life. Amen. St. John Bosco says, the longer you stay away from communion, the more your soul will be weak, and in the end, you will become dangerously indifferent. So we should, what is he saying is that, now can we go back to the St. Ambrose? St. Ambrose. Yeah. So if we stay away from communion, what happens? We become indifferent. I mean, my brothers and sisters, we have to pray for our priests. We have to pray for them. Can you imagine? Without the priest, no sacraments, no Eucharist, right? It's just like existing without living. Without the Eucharist, for me, is existing without living. So we have to pray for more vocations for the priesthood. We have to pray for more deacons, more priests, of course, and more deacons. And we have to pray that the Lord will raise up more priests that are holy priests, that are devoted to their ministry of the priesthood, that are faithful to the Lord. Because you know what? It's many seminaries are like empty, right? Some seminaries have even closed, have closed their doors. So we have to pray that more young people will be touched by the Lord and they will decide to become priests. Amen? Okay, now, for each Mass, yes, did you have a question? Saint Jane de Chantal. Okay, we will attend Mass and to her honor, and you know, and we'll ask her to intercede for us, to continue to intercede for us. Thank you. For each Mass, we hear with devotion, our Lord sends a saint to come for us at death, and this is the revelation of Christ to Saint Gertrude the Great. So, in other words, my brothers and sisters, can you imagine how many saints will comfort us at death? He says, for every Mass. Can you imagine? He said, the Lord sends a saint to comfort us at death. Okay, next. Mother Teresa was overwhelmed with God's goodness and asked our Lord, how can I thank you? Our Lord replied, attend one Mass. Amen. When you look at the crucifix, you understand how much Jesus loved you then. When you look at the secret host, you understand how much Jesus loves you now. By the way, my brothers and sisters, the Mass is full of prayers for blessings, for deliverance, for healing. You know, nothing can compare to the power in the Mass. I don't know what will, you know. Of course, the sacraments are also powerful. One of the sacraments, of course, is the Eucharist, sacrament of reconciliation, you know. But the Mass is the, you know, according to Blessed Virgin Mary, according to Alain, the servant of Mary, says, my son, who loves those who assist at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, that if it were necessary, he would die for them as many times as they've heard Masses. What a profound statement, right? Profound statement right here. Okay. Pope Benedict the 15th. The Holy Mass would be of greater profit if people had it offered in their lifetime rather than having it celebrated for the relief of their souls after death. You know, we have a tradition, has become a tradition in our family that if a member of the family has a birthday or they have wedding anniversary or whatever, we any celebration like birthday my brothers and sisters when they have their birthdays or my nephews, nieces, I make sure that there's a Mass offered for them for their birthdays. And it's a family tradition now. You know, I think that's one of the biggest gifts you can give them, to have a Mass offered for them. Okay? And great doctor of the church, Saint Anselm, declares that a single Mass offered for oneself during life may be worth more than 1,000 celebrated for the same intention after death. St. Leonard of Port Maurice supports this statement by saying that one Mass before death may be more profitable than many after it. So if, God forbid, if you have a relative who is sick, of course, you offer Mass for that person for healing and make sure that the person also receives the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, especially if that person has a serious illness, you know, and it's a sacrament of healing. In the gospel accounts, we see that everyone who touched Jesus was healed if they touched him with expectant faith. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 35 to 36, people who brought to him all those who were sick and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak, and so many as touched it were healed. In the Eucharist, we touch Jesus, and Jesus touches us. That's what I always declare, that every time we attend Mass, we attend a healing service. Amen? Every time we attend Mass, we attend a healing service. Because, you know, can you imagine? We have Jesus into us. What a better source of healing would that be? Amen? Okay, let's make it faster now. I was told I have only 10 minutes left. Now, the prayer after the Lord's Prayer, the priest says, "Deliver us, O Lord, from every evil, and grant peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin, and protect us from all anxiety as we wait in the joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ." This prayer asks for, number one, prayer for deliverance from evil spirits. There's an exorcism prayer right there in the Mass. Amen? Number two, prayer for societal and communitarian healing, peace that heals interpersonal and intrapersonal conflict, prayer to heal us of our spiritual disorders, to free us from our state of sin, and number four, prayer for our emotional healing, freedom from anxiety and guilt feelings, so that we can experience inner peace and joyful hope. Yeah, we praise God. A lot of prayers for healing during the Mass. Priest later on has the option of reciting another prayer that speaks about physical and emotional healing as he prepares to receive Holy Communion himself. Lord Jesus Christ, with faith in your love and mercy, I eat your body and drink your blood. Let it not bring me condemnation, but health of mind and body. But I think that's rarely used now, right, by the priest. Right, Father Patsy? You rarely pray that prayer now during the Mass? You pray it? That's great. But many, I've noticed that some of the priests just have another prayer. You have choices, right, Father? You have choices to pray, what prayer to pray. Huh? That one is a prayer for deliverance also, and, you know, it's amazing. The congregation also prays before receiving the body and the blood of Jesus. What we have to pray? Lord, I am not, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Now, next page. When we receive Holy Communion, we experience something extraordinary, a joy, a fragrance, a well-being that thrills the whole body and causes it to exult. St. John Vianney. You know, in many, many instances, like when my wife and I, we go to Mass, and then sometimes we smell the sweet aroma there. And then my wife would, when she has that experience, she says, "Smell that?" I said, "Yeah, I smell that. It's very sweet, sweet aroma." And, you know, I found it to be really true Saint Gian Vianney says, there is like a extraordinary joy, a fragrance. How many of you, maybe some of you here, or many of you have have experienced that? Raise your hands. Like a sweet aroma, fragrance during Mass. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I'd like to confirm that because yesterday I also smelled sweet aroma here. Yeah. But during Mass, especially during Mass, you know, many times my wife and I and maybe other people there in the church, you know, would smell the sweet aroma there. And the presence, I would term it as the presence of the Lord. Amazing presence of the Lord. Okay, now St. Thomas Aquinas says the celebration of Holy Mass is as valuable as the death of Jesus on the cross. What a profound statement, huh? Because it's a celebration of his death and resurrection. Okay, the Eucharist is the consummation of the whole spiritual life. St. Thomas Aquinas says that. And one more. Now there's someone. If we really understood the Mass, we would die of joy. There is nothing so great as the Eucharist. If God had something more precious, he would have given it to us. Yes, what more can he give us? He has given everything. You know, the Lord himself humbled himself so much that he came to us in the form of bread and wine. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came to us. He wanted to be as close to us as possible, and the way to do it is to come in the form of bread and wine. What a humbling experience that would be. But that's how much he loves us. Padre Pio says it would be easier for the world to survive without the Son than to do without Holy Mass. That's why we have to always pray for our priest, for the protection of the priest, for his faithfulness to his ministry. We pray for the protection, for long life of the priest, for all the good things that the Lord will pour out upon our priest, and to have more priests. Amen? More faithful priests. Amen. Okay. St. John Paul II, from the Eucharist comes strength to live the Christian life and zeal to share that life with others. And one more. St. John de Vianney, when we have been to Holy Communion, the balm of love envelops the soul as the flower envelops the bee. Next. St. Gregory, the heavens open and multitudes of angels come to assist in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So later on, when Father Patsy will celebrate Mass here, you could envision so many angels around. Now, St. Gregory must have some kind of a vision. He probably saw multitudes of angels attending, assisting in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Praise God. Next. The angels surround and help the priest when he is celebrating Mass. St. Augustine says, I believe St. Augustine has had a vision also of angels assisting during Mass. St. John Chrysostom, when Mass is being celebrated, the sanctuary is filled with countless angels who adore the divine victim immolated on the altar. I mean, it makes sense because the Lord is present. When the Lord is present, the angels are present. Mother Mary is present. No, the Holy Trinity is present, of course. Praise God. Okay. I think that's all, my brothers and sisters. What a blessing that we have. You know, I had a coworker before. He served in the military during World War II. I think in Germany. And he said that he was at the Battle of the Bulge. Where's that, Battle of the Bulge? Is that in France? Huh? In Belgium. He said that, you know, he said, well, he's Protestant. And he said, many Catholics, like, you know, he said, I envy them because many of them were like wounded badly, and the chaplain comes, the Catholic priest, give them Holy Communion. And he said, I overheard the priest say, your sins are forgiven you, you know. And he said, what a blessing. And he said he envied those soldiers who were badly injured, who received a blessing and Holy Communion. You know, it's a blessing for us, Catholic Christians, to receive him if on a daily basis, if you want, to receive his body and his blood. What a tremendous blessing. Amen? So let us pray right now. Let's bow down our head and pray. Lord, thank you for your words for us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us guidance and giving us insights on the power of the Eucharist in our lives and in our for our physical, spiritual, mental, emotional well-being, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for coming to us in the form of bread and wine in order to be united, so that we can be united with you. And thank you, Lord, for the tremendous blessings that you have poured out upon us this weekend. And Lord, that all of us will be guided by you, protected by you, as we head home this afternoon. Lord, that the words that we have heard here this weekend will continue to enrich our lives for your greater glory and honor. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. I have a prompting from the Lord to ask people here who have fibromyalgia. Who have fibromyalgia, please stand. Fibromyalgia. Okay. Who else? Our sister over there. Sister here. If you are, can you touch her shoulder or their shoulder? And let us pray over them, okay? Extend our hands towards them. And Lord, thank you for healing our sisters of the fibromyalgia. We speak of healings and miracles unto them. Touch their neurological system. Touch all the parts of their body. Lord, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, and set them free from fibromyalgia. In Jesus' name, we rebuke. Come against fibromyalgia. Command it to disappear completely. In Jesus' name. Come, Father. Come, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we speak of restoration. We speak of healing. We speak of miracles unto them. Lord, touch all their organs in their body, all the systems in their body. Lord, all their nerves and muscles, in Jesus' name, and the fibromyalgia to disappear completely from them. And we command the fibromyalgia never to come back and molest them again. And we seal their healing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. How many of you have, I hope not many, have like abnormal growth in your body, abnormal or maybe cyst or abnormal growth in your body? How many? Okay, please stand, please stand. Please stand. Okay, let us pray over them in Jesus' name.